You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Punt Podcast from William Hill. We're looking ahead to the midweek action, plenty of games taking place in the EFL Cup with plenty of Premier League teams in action. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Dave Kellner. How are you, Dave?
I'm very well. Glad to be here. Glad to be invited back onto the podcast with you, Mark Walton. I know that you hosted last week's midweek podcast.
Yeah.
And I can't remember whether it was successful or not. I think we had some winners. We had more losers than winners. That's the way I remember things, Mr. Walton.
Yeah. You were charged with finding the winners, though, so I can blame you entirely for it. More winners this week, Dave. You confident?
I'm confident. Well, I've got 12 matches to go out, so I'd hope to get one or two at least in. I'm as confident as you can be. I think the League Cup, or the EFL Cup as it's known now, is difficult to bet on because you can never be entirely sure how a manager is going to approach the competition, because they can change from one year to the next where they have been maybe told by the board, be aggressive in the competition, play your leading stars, we want silverware. Or sometimes it can be, we're going to be in a relegation fight here. Make sure you rest players and they're fit for the weekend. So it's a tricky competition to bet on. And we're recording this on Monday afternoon, 2 p.m. So obviously we've not got any team news yet through. And a lot of the pre-match press conferences haven't been done. So we can't even glean anything from those about the starting 11. So it's tough. But I think I've got some good bets for you.
Okay, good. Well, let's find out. Leicester against Chelsea is where we start. That's the televised game on Tuesday evening. Leicester City 5-2, the draw 23-10, and Chelsea are priced up at 11-10 at the time of recording this. A good week for Leicester. They won their first game in the Champions League against Club Bruges last week. Also beat Burnley 3-0 in the Premier League at the weekend. So they're going great guns. The mood will be very good at the King Power. Maybe not so much at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea beaten by Liverpool on the Friday night game. Only drew 2-2 with Swansea the time before that. After a real good start under Conte, they've kind of just wobbled a little bit last week.
Was that Dejan Lovren goal, was that a volley or a half volley?
I have watched it back and I think it's a half volley again now.
This is the debate, listeners. We watched the game in a pub in Leeds, a local drinking establishment in Leeds, and I immediately said volley and was told by the man sitting to the left of me right now, Mark Walton, I needed my eyes testing. It was definitely a half volley. So I thought, what better way to solve this than a Twitter poll? That's got to be the best way. So we put the poll out. I've not checked the latest actual results, but we put the poll out. Was it a volley or a half volley?
Are you calling it a poll?
A poll, poll.
Poll.
Poll, poll. Poll, poll.
Anyone who can't pronounce poll doesn't deserve to have a poll.
I think I've got all American. I think they pronounce it poll, don't
yeah,
they, I think?
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, put that out on Twitter, and the voting was in, and it wasn't unanimous, but the percentage suggested that volley was the call there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a good performance from Chelsea, was it? That first half, we were watching that thinking, are they going to turn up? Liverpool played their usual high-tempo, aggressive football in the first half and completely overawed Chelsea, really. And they deserved to win, even though, as Liverpool tend to do, they got slightly tired in the second half. Chelsea were fortunate to only be beaten 2-1 in that game, really.
Mm. Yeah, in the second half, even when Liverpool tired, I don't think Chelsea had many clear-cut chances, which I think is a worry for them.
Yeah, I think it is. And the other concern is that without John Terry again for this game, and
yeah.
No matter what anyone says about John Terry, he enhances the players around him as well. Gary Cahill looks lost without John Terry by his side. When you've got David Luiz in there alongside Gary Cahill, his mind goes to mush and he's all over the place defensively. And that's a big factor going into this game. And we're still talking about John Terry here.
Yeah.
2016, he's 35 years old and he still has an influential part to play in this Chelsea side. The thing I worry about with Chelsea more than anything is how are they going to cope with the pace of Ahmed Musa and Islam Slimani. I don't think Vardy will play in this game. I've got a feeling he'll be left out by Claudio Ranieri as he looks to rotate slightly. But Leicester beat them 2-1 at home in the league last season. I can't believe the prices.
Yeah.
Leicester looks such a good price. Maybe it's... I'm always concerned that it's William Hill, a bookmaker, trying to just suck me in here with that sort of price on Leicester at 5-2. I think it's fantastic. I think they're a great bet to win this match at 5-2. I wouldn't quite have it as a pick'em, but I'd never have Chelsea close to even money to win at the King Power, given the respective form lines coming into this match and that major doubt, that issue about John Terry. I think from a pace perspective, Slimani and Musa going to have a field day with Cahill and Louise.
Yeah, my only thing that puts me off slightly back in Leicester, you see the price, you think 5-2, you think yeah, that looks a good price to me. They've got Champions League football to worry about now, as well as a league campaign.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether they'll be happy to just maybe let the League Cup slide.
Yeah, that's a possibility, isn't it? And we don't know how Antonio Conte is going to, in these sort of matches, set his team out either. Mm. They have got a deeper squad, haven't they, Chelsea?
Yeah.
So maybe he will cut back slightly. But I still think they'll play a reasonably strong side. As I mentioned, I think that Jamie Vardy won't play in this game. Or if he does, he'll get 20 minutes maximum at the end if they are struggling to win the match. I still take Leicester. I understand the doubt surrounding. They have got... I mean, they're playing Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. So that is tough. And they're going to Manchester United the weekend as well.
Yeah.
So maybe it is the William Hill trying to suck you in with a price on Leicester here. I still think they'll keep that momentum going after back-to-back 3-0 wins and win this one. So I'll stay with them at 5-2. But I... understandably, and I understand your point of view, your perspective as far as this competition and Leicester are concerned this season, but I can't resist 5-2.
I'm going to hit you with a few enhanced odds offers as well, Dave. Two players you mentioned. Islam Slimani to score, Leicester to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 in 90 minutes. That was 15-2. That's now 9-1. And Ahmed Musa to score, Leicester to win, both teams to score in 90 minutes. That was 10-1. That's now 14-1. Two players you mentioned, you think will have a bit of a field there. So.
Yeah, I think both those players are good bets to score. With Islam Slimani at 9-5 to score, Ahmed Musa at 23-10 to score. They have got players they can bring in as well. Shinji Okazaki, I think, is likely to start in this game. Leonardo Ajoa, if Slimani and Musa, if one of those two misses out, Ajoa could come in. So. It's not a deep squad, we know that from last season, Leicester City. And they have got those two big games to come against Manchester United and Porto back-to-back on Saturday, Tuesday. So maybe that's 10% enthusiasm with Leicester. But I'll still play them at 5-2 here.
Still going with Leicester there. Then let's move on to some of the other games taking place on Tuesday evening. We'll start with Nottingham Forest at home to Arsenal. Forest are 9-2, the draw 11-4, Arsenal are 8-13 for this game. And from reports I've seen before we record this on Monday, Dave, Arsenal are going to ring the changes here by the sounds of things.
Yeah, he usually does. And it's the sort of game you think Arsenal are going to win. We talked about this on the punt, the weekend edition of the punt, where you're analysing these Arsenal games and you're thinking they had that really poor start to the season, they're going to slip up. But against lesser opposition, they tend to find a way to win, Arsenal. And they did again at the weekend, beat Hull comprehensively. And last three Premier League matches, they've won and both teams have scored. Mm. And I look at this and I automatically think this is made for goals, this game. It's going to be an absolute goal fest. Both teams have scored in Forest's last six. And at home in the Championship, they've scored 12 in their four home matches this season. They're still only 13th in the league because they have conceded plenty too. So far, in those four games that I referenced where they've scored 12 goals, they've conceded 9. And even though Arsenal generally tend to win these matches, and they have been known for the last decade now as flat track bullies, haven't they, Arsenal,
yeah.
Really? They even if they make changes, I think they're going to have too much against this Nottingham Forest side. The one thing that you've got to look at, though, here, and is a slight reservation if you're thinking about backing Arsenal at a short price. They've been knocked out early on in this competition the last three seasons. Didn't play that weaker side against Sheffield Wednesday last year, but were beaten 3-0. That was embarrassing. And remember when Bradford City knocked them out after a penalty shootout in this competition back in 2012. It's a sellout of the City Ground as well, so you've got to take that into consideration. It'd be a great atmosphere, I think. Over 3.5 goals is where I'm leaning here. And I'm leaning quite strongly to over 3.5 goals. I think it's a good bet. 6-4. So they have cottoned on, the compilers, as well. You look at over 2.5. That's in the market 8-15. But I see no way we don't have a match that is filled with goals here. Two very attacking sides. Two sides that have struggled a little bit defensively as well. Even if Arsenal make loads of changes, they've got quite a strong squad now. And I've noticed Alex Iwobi is playing a lot of football under Arsene Wenger. Really fancies him. He's 11-5 to score any time. It is obviously dependent on team news, but I like the 11-5 Alex Iwobi to score in this competition. I think it's set up for him, his pace against a weaker opposition. So 11-5, Alex Iwobi to score any time is good for me, but over 3.5, the main play at 6-4.
Yeah, the more I look at this game, like yourself, Dave, you can't help but think there's going to be a hatful of goals here. Forest concede goals far too easily. And against a side like Arsenal, no matter which Arsenal side they put out, they're going to play the same kind of attacking brand of football. It's going to surely end in goals. It must do.
It must do. It must do. And I suppose it has. They have restricted the attractiveness of that possibility by cutting the price. Yeah. I mean, over 2.5 goals at 8-15 is almost as short in this type of match as you're going to see. I notice you're hovering over Arsenal winning over 2.5 goals, which is 19-20.
That's very short, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it enough of a boost from the 8-13 for Arsenal to win the game?
I'm not sure it is.
I couldn't see it being 1 or 2-0, but you'd be kicking yourself if you took a slightly bigger price at 19-20 and it did end 1 or 2-0 when it's only 8-13 for them to win the match outright.
Mm.
The more intrepid might be looking at Forest to win this match, given Arsenal's recent history in the competition. It wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibility that Nottingham Forest could win the game if Arsenal make loads of changes. I don't see it, though. I think Arsenal will win, but I just like playing the goals here. So over 3.5 at 6-4 odds against has got to be the play.
Mm. So plenty of goals. Looks to be the play there. Then let's move on to the next game that we look at. Derby against Liverpool. Derby are 7-1. The draw 7-2. Liverpool are 2-5. Very short odds here for Liverpool, Dave. And I was a little bit apprehensive about possibly siding with them at those kind of skinny odds for the same reasons as some of the other big hitters that you maybe don't know how much they'd put into this. But they don't have European football and Derby are badly out of form. So can you side with Liverpool at these skinny odds?
I think 2-5 is the right price. I wouldn't be a player, but I wouldn't be a layer either, in all honesty. And I think Jurgen Klopp signalled his intent in the competition with that 5-0 win against Burton in the second round. He played a very strong team in that second round match. And even though he's got a few more issues going into this match, Derby, as you mentioned, have been very poor this season. And remember, Liverpool came within a whisker of winning the League Cup last year, beaten finalists in that penalty shootout against Manchester City. He has got more problems, Klopp. Roberto Firmino and Daniel Sturridge, unlikely to feature. They haven't been training, so I'm not sure they'll play. Firmino has a groin strain and Sturridge ran out of steam in that match against Chelsea on Friday night. So it's likely that Divock Origi will lead the line. He's 19-20 to score any time, and I actually quite like that price. He opened the scoring against Burton and scored 3 when they hammered Southampton in the competition 6-1 last season. I'm not sure what's happened with Derby, in all honesty. They were a strong fancy of mine pre-season. Admittedly, I don't know a great deal about the Championship, but everything I read about that competition, you're laughing as if to say you don't know anything about the Premier League either. Everything I read suggests that Derby were going to go well in the Championship. I saw a lot of people tipping them to get promoted, and they've only got 6 points from 8 games. I've read a lot of fan reports. I like reading stories from fans after matches because it's good fun, basically. They either slag off the players, slag off the manager, and in some extreme cases, in defeat, they're still happy with the way their team have performed.
Mm.
And that happened at the weekend. According to the fans who watch them every week, they created more chances against Bristol City, and only a Bristol City late equaliser denied them at the weekend. They had a really good run in this competition back in 2014 as well, but they were knocked out in the opening round by Portsmouth in 2015, and they struggled through the opening couple of matches in the competition this season against Grimsby and Carlisle. So I think Liverpool will win. Liverpool are the sort of team that thrive against opposition like this because they can just completely outplay them. They've got so many technically gifted players that even if Jurgen Klopp makes tons of changes, they've got lots of players that can come in and still perform at the top level. Emre Can should be back for this game. Kevin Stewart's made a few substitute appearances recently. So I think both those players will be involved. You've got Danny Ings to come forward as well. So Liverpool will win this game, in my opinion. And I wouldn't be surprised if both teams scored in the match. Liverpool to win and both teams to score is available at 15-8, which I think is pretty decent because, as I mentioned, Derby have been creating more chances and they should be at least a top-half championship side, Derby. So I'll play that. Liverpool to win and both teams to score at 15-8. But my favourite bet is Divock Origi to be amongst the scorers. 19-20 to score any time. And I'd have a little nibble on him to score two or more at 4-1 as well.
Penultimate game we look at on Tuesday evening is Everton against Norwich. Everton 4-7. The draw 11-4. Norwich are 5-1. Everton going great guns under Koeman, Dave. They sit second in the Premier League table. They have 13 points from 5 games. 5 straight wins in all competitions for Everton. They take on a Norwich side, though, that are flying high in the Championship, trying to bounce back to the Premier League and also in pretty decent nick. Their only blemish recently is a 3-0 defeat at Birmingham City, which was a bit of a surprise, really. So are Everton good things here? Is it more tricky than that?
Yeah, I think it's a tricky tie, this one, isn't it, to analyse, really, because I have been very impressed with Everton at the start of this Premier League season. You look at the way they have performed in their opening 5 matches. They're playing with much more fluency than they did last season under Roberto Martinez, and defensively, they look stronger as well. So Everton, I really think they will challenge for a top 4 spot in the Premier League this season. And he set out a strong side in that second round match against Yeovil Town as well. They won that game 4-0, and Romelu Lukaku and Yannick Bolasie both played in that match. Man City beat them 4-3 on aggregate in the semi-finals last year under Roberto Martinez. I just wonder whether he'll play such a strong side against Norwich in the third round, because Yannick Bolasie and Romelu Lukaku, two of their outstanding players this season, they've been in the firing line for 5 weeks of the campaign now. And Yannick Bolasie's had a couple of problems. We all know Lukaku's had injuries as well. So he might be a slightly more cautious than he was when they beat Yeovil Town. It's actually a repeat of the fixture last year in this competition as well. Everton prevailed on penalties, having drawn 1-1 in that match. Norwich hammered Coventry in the second round of the League Cup as well, 6-1. Only second, as you mentioned, behind Huddersfield. I'd go for the draw here. I'm not confident in this match, in all honesty. I'd take a scoring draw. So I like a match result and both teams to score the draw in that market at 15-4. Tricky fixture for Everton. If you're leaning one way or the other, I'd definitely be with Everton. But I'd want to see the team news first here and see if Ronald Koeman is really keen on having a prolonged run in the League Cup, because I'm sure he'll be looking at the Premier League table and thinking, we can definitely get top four with the players we've got. They've got some outstanding talents at that club now in the starting 11. Idrissa Gueye has just been out. He's been phenomenal. Really has been fantastic so far this season. Expect Deulofeu to start in this game. Expect Enner Valencia to start in this game as well. Aaron Lennon will start. So they've got a good squad. They've got strength in depth now, Everton. They've got a proper manager. They've not had a proper manager for a while. And they've got one in Koeman. So things looking really good for Everton. But this is a tricky one against a Norwich side who have been good in the Championship this season.
Yeah. You mentioned one of the players that I was going to ask you your opinion on. Aaron Lennon scored in the last round of this competition against Yeovil. He's 13-5 to score any time, and I expect him to play. So if you're looking for a goal scorer.
Yep. He's one of the players that I think will have been disappointed Roberto Martinez left, because no, he was showing his real his best form under Roberto Martinez at the end of last season, and he was getting in ahead of Gerard Deulofeu. Yannick Bolasie's at the club now, so Yannick Bolasie has usurped Gerard Deulofeu really for a starting berth. Kevin Morales has been playing in front of Aaron Lennon as well, but Lennon, I think Lennon probably will start, and 13-5, not a bad price on Lennon to score any time in this game. If I'm looking for a goal scorer, I'm looking at Gerard Deulofeu at 23-10 in the market. He could even possibly, as he did when Lukaku was out earlier on in the season, play as the number 9 in this match. And if he does, if the team news comes through and you see an absence of Lukaku and Deulofeu's in there, maybe Enner Valencia will lead the line or Aruna Kone. But if Deulofeu's in there, he's likely to play as part of that front three. So 23-10 on Deulofeu, who is brilliantly talented, is good enough for me.
Okay, superb. Bournemouth against Preston to finish with on Tuesday evening. Bournemouth 8-13, the draw 13-5. Preston are 5-1. Bournemouth sit 17th in the Premier League, Dave. Preston sit 19th in the Championship. So two clubs that perhaps wouldn't necessarily want this as a distraction.
I think Bournemouth will fancy it, though. The problem you've got with Bournemouth is they're coming off the back of that hammering against Manchester City. Eddie Howe's not going to change his style of play for anyone. No matter what team he comes up against, he's going to play as he always does. Try and keep possession, play quick football. It doesn't work against Manchester City. We've seen last season, I think they've conceded 13 goals in their last three meetings with Manchester City now. They can pick them apart. Preston obviously won't be able to do that. And Bournemouth, it's a good match for Bournemouth, this one, I think. They beat Morecambe away in the second round 2-1, and Howe played a decent side in that matchup. Liverpool have knocked them out the last two seasons. They made the quarters in 2014 and the round of 16 last year. I think they're a good price, Bournemouth. They're one of my bankers on the coupon this midweek. 8-13 is attractive for a home side against a Preston side that have been pretty dismal in the league so far. Takes this competition seriously, Eddie Howe. Bournemouth to win 8-13.
Confident sounding selection there then, Dave. Bournemouth in that match. Let's move on to Wednesday night's games. We'll start with the televised game there. Northampton take on Manchester United. Northampton 10-1, the draw 7-2. Man United are 1-3. Dream tie for Northampton, sitting in League One at the moment. They get to welcome Jose Mourinho and Manchester United. Jose Mourinho with a bad temper, perhaps, because he's lost three games in a row. His Manchester United side have lost three games in a row. Now, that's the first time Jose has lost three games in a row in a single season since 2002, when he was back at Porto. So Manchester United need a result here, don't they?
They do. They do. Since then, Jose Mourinho's managed at Chelsea, not managed at Chelsea, managed at Chelsea, not managed at Chelsea. He's fallen out with pretty much everyone, hasn't he, Jose Mourinho, since they last lost, or a side managed by him last lost three consecutive matches. It's all about bad refereeing, though, isn't it, Mark?
Of course.
Of course. I don't know how he's got the audacity sometimes, but he has. And I don't think his ego would take losing to Northampton on the back of those three results. So he might play a slightly stronger side than he would have had they been coming into this match flying Manchester United. Some of those fringe players are going to get a look in here. You'd expect Jesse Lingard to play. Memphis Depay will start in this match, I would imagine. Juan Mata, Marcus Rojo, Morgan Schneiderlin. I wonder if we're going to see anything of Michael Carrick, because Paul Scholes on BT Sport at the weekend was imploring Jose Mourinho to bring Michael Carrick back into the starting 11, because they need that sort of player that's going to hold in defensive midfield so the likes of Paul Pogba can express himself. They've got a real problem with Wayne Rooney, because he's not good enough for Manchester United anymore. He's not good enough to play in that starting 11. And he still is. And he's still club captain. And you'd think Mourinho would have the guts just to say, Wayne Rooney's not playing well enough at the moment, I can't have him in my starting 11. But it doesn't look like that's what's going to happen. And Rooney's he was very, very poor against Watford at the weekend. I watched that match, and Michael Cox from Zonal Marking made a really good point about Marouane Fellaini. and how, because of the position he's been playing in, he doesn't really know when to sit and when to track. And the first two Watford goals came from cutbacks, basically, where Marouane Fellaini had been dragged into the defensive line. That had left a gaping hole in the centre midfield. Two cutbacks Watford had. Etienne Capoue scored. Zuniga got the other one. So they've got real problems at the moment, Manchester United. But can you see them losing against Northampton Town?
No, they shouldn't.
It's a big price, isn't it? 10-1 for Northampton to win this game. They had been on that incredible run, Northampton Town, in the league as well. They'd gone 31 matches unbeaten in the league, Northampton Town, promoted from League Two last season to League One this season. And even though they've not been winning many games, they'd been drawing a lot of games, Northampton. But that run's over now, and they've got to get over that 3-1 loss against Chesterfield quickly. But they'll be well up for it, won't they? They'll be well up for this game. I think Rashford will play, and I think Rashford will score. He's 3-4 to score any time, Marcus Rashford. I wouldn't be... If you're thinking about having an accumulator, I wouldn't be throwing Manchester United in at 1-3 under any circumstance. But I would be having a look at Marcus Rashford at 3-4. I think that's a good price for him to score in the game.
All right. So, leaning towards Manchester United then, no real conviction?
No conviction at those prices. I think it's impossible to have conviction with Manchester United at 1-3 away from home against anyone at the moment, the way they've played. And you know he's going to play a weakened side. They have got unbelievable strength in depth now, Manchester United, but it's going to be a weakened side for this trip to Northampton. And at 1-3, you can afford to let 1-3 winners win and not be upset about it. And I'd avoid putting them in accumulators as well at 1-3.
Imagine the pressure on Mourinho if they lose to Northampton after losing three games prior to that as well. Four straight defeats with the latest of them against the
League.
What
do you think would have to happen for Manchester United to decide to get rid of Jose Mourinho? How long and how bad would it have to be?
It's still too early, isn't it? He'd have to absolutely flip his wig or something.
I think it's an after Christmas decision, isn't it? But if things went horribly wrong, maybe they'd make a managerial change after Christmas, perhaps.
They gave Moyes till after Christmas, didn't they? So.
Yes, yeah, Mourinho's, he's got a lot of credit in the bank, hasn't he, with his managerial success over the years, so I'm sure that's a long way off, but things have not been good for Manchester United. He doesn't know how to fit all those players in. They're playing a formation that where the players don't understand their specific roles in the team, and he's had no plan B. That's been the one criticism throughout Mourinho's career that people have made about him. When it comes to attacking, when plan A doesn't work, has he got a plan B, another strategy? And at the moment, it doesn't look like it.
He's got usual formation or park the bus. That's his two.
There is two formations, precisely.
Anyway, so tricky times for Manchester United. Much better times for Manchester City at the moment. They make the trip to Swansea on Wednesday night. Swansea are 11-2. The draw is 16-5. Man City are 1-2. They sit top of the Premier League table, Dave. They've won all five games in the Premier League under Pep Guardiola. He seems to have stamped his ideas on the side very quickly. And they look, at times, phenomenal this season, Manchester City.
They've been brilliant, haven't they? Odds on to win the title now here with William Hill. There's a bet that I like here, and it's not in this match. It's Francesco Guidolin to be the first manager sacked, or the first manager to leave his position. This season. It's 11-1, which I think is a really big price. Mark Hughes is even money favourite in that market, with Tony Pulis in the betting at 3-1. I can't remember who was third in the market. Let me have a quick glance for you, Mr. Walton. Third in the market was, or is, Slaven Bilic, obviously. West Ham have started appallingly. 6-1. David Moyes is 9-1. Francesco Guidolin comes in there at 11-1. I think that's a really big price. I saw some of the match against Southampton at the weekend, and they were lucky to get nil, in all honesty. Swansea, really poor performance.
Is that you, Derek?
Yeah, precisely. That's in homage to Mr. McGovern. Ki Young Son remonstrated with Guidolin after being substituted midway through that match. And I think they're in trouble. Swansea, they'll go on a really bad run now. Manchester City at 1-2 doesn't set the pulse racing, does it, away from home in the League Cup? But he's got a big squad. Kelechi Iheanacho will play here, you'd think, given that Sergio Aguero will be available for selection at the weekend, so you'd expect him to come straight back into that starting lineup. So they've got Iheanacho, and Iheanacho plays and scores, doesn't he? 17-20 he is to score any time in the match. Kevin De Bruyne, by the way, 11-10 in that market as well. But Iheanacho should be called Iheanacho. Iheanacho, I think he's scored 10 goals with 14 shots on target in the Premier League, which is just a phenomenal strike rate. He's 17-20 to score any time, 4-1 to score two or more. I wouldn't put you off either of those bets. And I think Kelechi Iheanacho to score in a Manchester City win is a good bet. 6-5 it is, Iheanacho to score in Manchester City to win.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I was looking at Gundogan, if he plays. Obviously, check the team news. But he hasn't played many games for City, trying to get fit.
Yeah.
Might be a reason to stick him in the team, just get more minutes under his belt, score at the weekend, and he's looked very lively since he joined City. He seems to be slotting in there nice and comfortably. 23-10.
That's a big price, isn't it? Yeah, I do like that. I do like that a lot. Ilkay Gundogan to score anytime, 23-10.
Yeah,
I'd be with you there as well. Yeah, I think City, whenever City play now, they look like they're going to score 3, 4, or 5, don't they? It's not a case of grinding out 1-0 wins, be it at home or away from home. Manchester City -1 is only 5-4. I prefer your goal scorer. I prefer Kelechi Iheanacho to score any time, and Manchester City to win to both those offers. Man City to win and over 2.5 goals at 10-11.
Yeah.
There's goals all over in the City side, so I like that as well.
Yeah, and reports as well today that apparently it's likely Leroy Sané will make his debut as well. So an interesting one to keep an eye on. Obviously, he'll want to hit the ground running, won't he? So
full debut is that, because I think he has come
first,
on a substitute
first start.
First start, yeah. Yeah. 11-10 he is to score any time. I see City winning handsomely.
Let's move on to some of the other action on Wednesday evening then. QPR against Sunderland next. QPR 19-10. The draw 9-4. Sunderland are 29-20. Queen's Park Rangers started the season pretty well, but since then they've had a wobble in the Championship. They drew with Blackburn, who are a pretty poor side, three starts ago. Got thrashed by Newcastle, losing 6-0, and then lost again to Huddersfield at the weekend, although Huddersfield are doing pretty well. Sunderland at the basement end of the Premier League, 19th in the Premier League, Dave. Big job for David Moyes to try and turn them around this season. Where are they going to stand with the League Cup? Are they going to want it just out of the way and let's stay in the Premier League?
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you? How do you have a bet in this game? I just think it's if you had one match that you could veto on the podcast, this would definitely be it, in my opinion, because I don't know what's going to happen here. I don't know what side David Moyes is going to select. As you mentioned, they are struggling badly in the Premier League, so you'd think that how can you make changes to that Sunderland side? They've all been so dreadful. What do you think? I'm going to rest you because you've been playing so well in recent weeks. I think it's impossible. The cash has come for Sunderland, by the way, if you're looking for a market move. It was each of two when I was looking at the match on Monday morning. Here we are on Monday afternoon, and Sunderland have been backed and they're clear favourites now at 29-20. It's impossible. It's impossible. What do you think is going to happen?
I want to back QPR because I think you'll make more money this season opposing Sunderland than you are siding with them.
Yeah.
And if this game had have been in the previous round when QPR were doing okay, I'd have said, yeah, back QPR. They've gone off the boil the last couple of weeks. So I'm not entirely convinced. I think, like you say, it's so tricky.
One bet that I will maybe have a look at, and I'll put it up as my token selection in this match, is Wahbi Khazri to score any time at 12-5. He wanted away from the club in the summer, and that's why he's not featured in David Moyes' thought so far this season. I think he's good. I think he's a very good player, Wahbi Khazri. He's looked slightly portly as well, which maybe he's not been fully attuned in terms of David Moyes' fitness regime. But 12-5, Wahbi Khazri to score any time. I think he'll start in this game because he's not been playing in the Premier League. So I'll go 12-5 Kasri to score any time.
On to the brilliantly named London Stadium next. West Ham take on Accrington Stanley. Who are they? West Ham are 130-on. The draw is 19-5 and Accrington are 11-1. West Ham 18th in the Premier League. Four straight defeats for them in all competitions. Accrington Stanley are on the up in League Two. They've won their last two games and a draw before that as well. So things are going okay for Accrington at the moment. Pressure on Slaven Bilic, Dave. West Ham have been dreadful at times this season. Their home record since they moved to the former Olympic Stadium isn't very good either. So is this the one where you take on the Premier League side?
No, I don't think so. It saddens me. It does sadden me to see Slaven Bilic at 6-1 to be the first Premier League manager to leave his post. It upsets me the way they've performed recently. I think some of the new signings that Slaven Bilic has, or some of the signings that Slaven Bilic has brought in this summer, aren't that good, in all honesty. Jonathan Kayeri, I don't think he's a very good player. I've yet to be convinced by Arthur Masuaku. We've not seen anything really from Sofiane Fagouli yet, who I expect big things from Sofiane Fagouli. But he's only had, I think he came on at the weekend in that 4-2 loss against West Brom. I mean, who concedes four goals to West Brom?
Yeah, I don't know, yeah.
What, four goals to West Brom? Watford, back-to-back 4-2 losses with Watford beating them the week prior to that as well. The thing about the West Brom match is that West Ham were unfortunate in that game, really. They had lots of shots in the match. Dominated possession in the second half and staged a mini revival, a mini comeback. They need to win this game. That's the thing. We've talked about a lot of Premier League sides where they might not be fussed about winning or losing in the League Cup. They've got other things to focus on. It's imperative for West Ham, for their confidence as a unit, that they go and put on a show in front of their home fans here, because they've become disgruntled quickly. They are 100-30 on. That price for a reason, in my opinion. I think West Ham will win this game, and I think they'll put on a really good display here. It's sort of a little bit counterintuitive when you think they've been beaten 4-2 in their last couple of matches, but there are goals in this West Ham side. Mikel Antonio's the man scoring them all at the moment. He is in the betting at even money to score any time, Mikel Antonio. I wonder if we've got him to score a header.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
It was so frustrating at the weekend when I did the Pump podcast, because we had the to score a header market on the William Hill website.
Right.
And I came to this match, and one of the stats I had written down is that Mikel Antonio, since the start of last season, had scored more headed goals than anyone in the Premier League. Got 10 headers since the start of last season, Mikel Antonio, and scored again with his head at the weekend against West Brom. And he wasn't in that market. I mean, talk about dropping the ball by the compilers. He wasn't in that market. So I looked and I got frustrated. And because some of the other West Ham players were 7-8-1 in that market. So Mikel Antonio, if it pops up, it'll probably only be available in the Premier League. If it pops up next weekend, Mikel Antonio to score with his head, because I think he's had four headers on target this season or something like that. All four have gone in. Or West Ham have had four headers on target. Some stat like that.
I think it's five games in a row he scored, and all five of them have been headers.
Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that says it all, doesn't it? So even
he's a 1-2 shot to score a header.
Even money is to score any time. It will probably be with his head. West Ham -1. West Ham win this easily. -1's 13-20. It scares me saying that, actually, at 13-20. But I think they really put in a performance on Wednesday night, I'm hoping.
I was just about to say hoping. Which is it, Dave? Hope, okay. Right, so West Ham to bounce back then in that game. Let's move on to Southampton against Crystal Palace. Southampton even money, the draw 11-5. Crystal Palace are 3-1. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, Dave, Southampton priced up pretty short at home once again. Can't always be trusted. Mm-hmm. And I was considering that maybe Palace are overpriced here at 3-1, Dave, because they're in good form at the moment. They've brought in some decent players. I'm not sure there should be 3-1 to beat Southampton.
Yeah, I kind of agree. It does look a pretty big price. We're not sure what Claude Puel is going to do in this match either. Alan Pardew played a pretty good side against Blackpool in the cup in the last round, so I suppose he's likely to play a decent side here as well. Palace took advantage of Stoke at the weekend. Stoke's defending was abysmal, especially with crosses into the box. And Palace played pretty well. Andros Townsend finally scored on Sunday as well. He has scored back-to-back. I was looking through his career record. I was hoping it was going to be more evident than it was that he, when he scores, he strings a couple of goals together. Because I kind of had it in the back of my mind that when Townsend gets going, he can score multiple goals in quick succession. It didn't really play out like that. He has scored back-to-back twice in his career, Andros Townsend. He has scored a few goals in clumps, but the odd game here or there where he's missed out.
Right.
So I still quite like Andros Townsend to get on the score sheet here. Let me dig out that price for you. Even money, Southampton to win the game.
I've got a hint for you.
Oh, have you?
You would like it, yeah. 16-5 to score anytime.
That's a good price. I think that's a big price. Anything over 3-1, I think it's good for Andros Townsend to score anytime. 16-5, I'll play that. 16-5, Andros Townsend to score. And yeah, maybe Crystal Palace are a little bit big in the betting. I've not got any strong opinion on the 90-minute market in that one.
Let's move on to Stoke against Hull. And Stoke are 21-20. The draw 23-10. Hull City are 14-5. Stoke City prop up the Premier League table at the moment by way of goal difference. They're level on points with Sunderland, both of them on 1 point, but minus 11 in the goals difference column for Stoke City. Hull City would have expected to have been in a relegation battle by many people, but they've surprised at the start of the season. They sit 12th. In the league. They were thrashed by Arsenal at the weekend, but in patches didn't look like they should have been beaten 4-1. Previously, narrowly lost out to Manchester United with a late goal. They've had some good performances this season. Is this going to be more misery for Stoke City?
I've got nothing written down here. I'm just staring at a blank sheet of paper. It's another one that I'm not sure about. Stoke look short, don't they, in the betting? I think that's something that most people will probably agree with. Shared above even money to win this game, Stoke. Hull suffered with Jake Livermore being sent off. Even though they played well without Jake Livermore, it eventually told in that match against Arsenal at the weekend. I'm not sure what's going to happen in this one. He's got a big problem, hasn't he, Mark Hughes, defensively, because they've just been getting, they've been getting hammered, haven't they? Really, I know they had that. They managed to hold Everton to 1 in the Premier League, but conceding 4 to Tottenham, and then 4 at the weekend to an average Palace side. Really, maybe that's slightly harsh on Palace, but they're not going to be a top 8 club, I don't think, this season, Palace. So he's got big problems. Hull don't want this because you said they've done well, but they're going to be in a relegation battle, Hull City. They're still going to be, I think, up against it to finish the season 17th in the league and survive. So tough match to analyse. Both teams, I think, will be looking to the weekend and the next Premier League match. It'll be sod's law that this is a draw and they've got to have extra time and penalties and the players are going to be shattered going into the weekend. Team news dependent, this one. Team news dependent. I'd probably plump for the draw at 23-10 in the 90-minute market, but no strong opinion on that match.
If Robert Snodgrass is in the Hull City team,
yeah,
take a look at him at 3-1 to score any time. Scored a hat-trick for Scotland. He scored in the last couple of games for Hull as well. He's going to be on free kicks. He's going to be on penalties.
Yeah.
And he's obviously had a terrible injury, which ruled him out for a long time. And he seems to be determined to make up for that lost time at the moment. He's in real fine form.
Yeah, it's a good shout by you. Robert Snodgrass to score any time if he does play in the match. 3-1, yeah.
Mm. Final game we'll look at is Tottenham Hotspur against Gillingham. Tottenham 1-4. The draw is 9-2. Gillingham are 11-1. Gillingham currently sitting 13th in League One. Tottenham sitting 7th in the Premier League. A mixed bag of results for Spurs, really. Dave, probably would have expected to start the season better, and I don't think we'll see Harry Kane either in this game. So 1-4, are they the one to chuck into the accumulators just to give you a bit of a boost?
They're fine at 1-4. They did beat Sunderland on Sunday. It was a nothing performance, really. Won that game 1-0, and Harry Kane did score, but then he's got one of those boots on, you know, those boots that you see now.
Yeah.
Protective boot. Is that what they call it? It's a big boot. It's a big boot. Apparently, it's
the footballer ankle injury boot.
Yeah, the footballer ankle injury. Yeah, whatever's gone wrong. Basically, they put anything that happens below the knee. They put that boot on it.
Yeah.
And he's got that on, so I don't think he'll play. There's a little interesting narrative here with Bradley Dack, who plays for Northampton, because if you type Bradley Dack into Google, you'll see that a lot of people are tipping him to be the next player to come through the non-league ranks and get into the Premier League like Dele Alli did. Mm. And they went up against each other last season, Bradley Dack and Dele Alli. Sorry, 18 months ago that was, a couple of seasons ago now, when Dax Gillingham beat Alli's MK Dons 4-2 in this competition. But since then, obviously, Dele Alli's gone on to bigger and better things with Tottenham, winning that starting place for England, and Bradley Dack is still at Gillingham. But a couple of clubs came in for him in the summer, Brighton and Bristol City. But the Gillingham chairman is convinced he's going to be a star, and he's waiting for a bigger offer to come through either in the next transfer window or the transfer window next summer. Gillingham are 13th in League One, but only 5 points off top spot. Very congested League One table. Without winning four, though, Dak has scored against Sheffield United a few weeks ago and scored the winner against Watford in the second round of the competition. So they've already knocked off one Premier League club, Gillingham. It will be interesting to see Bradley Dak play here. He's been compared to Frank Lampard. But Tottenham should win this comfortably. Lots of strength and depth now for Tottenham. I don't think Gillingham are that much cop. So Tottenham at 1-4 to win this game. Tottenham and both teams to score at 13-8 alike. And why not have a look at Dak to score anytime? 14-5 he is to score anytime. If I'm looking for a goal scorer for Tottenham, Eric Lamella at 7-5. He looked really good when he came on at the weekend, and I reckon he'll start in this game, 7-5. Heung-min Son, who's been in fine goal-scoring form, is 11-10 as well. So maybe have a look at those two. Vincent Janssen is 4-6. You'd expect him to lead the line for Spurs. So I think Spurs will win this game. I think they'll win it comfortably in the end. 1-4 they are to win it. Spurs to win half-time, full-time, 1-2. And look at those couple of goal scorers I mentioned as well.
Does Dele Alli start, do you think? Celebrate his new deal with a goal?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know if he will start in this game, actually. Mm. I think he'll make a lot of changes, Mauricio Pochettino. I'd say he wouldn't start in this game. If I was to predict the starting lineup for Spurs, I'd say it's one without Harry Kane, without Dele Alli, and without Christian Eriksen. I think those three will be definite omissions in this match.
All right, good stuff. Plenty in there, Dev. And any that you confident on, any what you would offer up as a best bet? Or
I like Leicester City at 5-2, but you've highlighted a couple of serious reservations to that bet. I think Bournemouth are the best bet of those teams. Obviously, we've gone through all the Premier League sides, and a lot of them are short prices. Of the short prices, Bournemouth, the short prices that you can really get stuck into, Bournemouth to beat Preston at 8-13, I think, is a knocking bet, and I think they'll win -1.
Superb, good stuff, Dave. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it this week.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.